you know, we still have this situation where massive cuts are squeezed into about 7 months or 6 months of a fiscal year. So we know that the cuts, if allowed to occur, will be very, very large and very disruptive.
How much of the way a furlough would work is sort of subject to further guidance from OMB and others, and how much is already kind of set out in law and regulation and administrative procedure?
Well, that's a very good question that nobody really knows the answer to. I would sort of rephrase it to say how much discretion will the agencies have in implementing the budget cuts? Will they be implementing them entirely in the form of furloughs to the civilian workforce, or will they spread the pain more broadly and include the contractor workforce, which in many agencies, particularly DOD, is much larger and more costly than the in-house workforce? And we don't really have an answer for that, although we have strongly encouraged the administration to exercise some fairness and responsibility in advising agencies on how to implement the cuts.
But I guess AFG's position obviously would be that that would be at least legally permissible, if not preferable.
Oh, there's no question that it's legally permissible.
So, that would entail probably just terminating or renegotiating service contracts is really how that would work, right?
That and not signing new contracts, not exercising options on existing contracts to expand the scope of contracts, that sort of thing.
Reading the OPM fact sheet that they put together before the original fiscal cliff deadline, it looks like employees who are covered by union contracts, there's some bargaining involved in how a furlough would work if a furlough is to be implemented. Can you flesh that out, how that negotiation process works, who's covered, and what actually gets bargained?
Well, obviously, it's the bargaining unit that's covered. We represent about 670,000 federal employees nationwide, and if you're in one of our bargaining units, then that means we have the right to bargain over the impact and implementation of any kind of a plan for these cuts. If it's more than 22 workdays, either consecutive or non-consecutive, it constitutes a RIF, and then a whole different set of rules go into effect. Then it becomes a mandatory subject for collective bargaining.
If it's fewer than 22 workdays, though, what happens?
It can be bargained, but it's not a mandatory issue. But the administration has indicated that they are, you know, advising agencies to talk to the unions about how to implement the furloughs. And if it comes to that, of course. And obviously, there'll be operational concerns about coverage in the agencies, so that there's not going to be a government shutdown, as has occurred in, other budget crises. This is going to be something, that's spread out over several months, and it's a reduction in funding. So, there are all different kinds of ways that agencies can be creative in how to implement those cuts.
But as a theoretical matter, though, I guess it seems like a work unit could either, not work Fridays for the rest of the year, for example, or they could have 22 consecutive furlough days, right?
Well, then that would ultimately be a shutdown in some agencies for 22 days, and I'm sure that's not what the administration wants to see. I think they'll certainly try to minimize the impact on the delivery of services. So, you could envision that some workers would have their furloughs on a Friday, others on a Thursday, others on a Wednesday, that sort of thing, sort of a rolling furlough. I mean, there's all kinds of ways they can do that. And I highly doubt that any agency would want to take their cuts as a shutdown for any period of time.
Right. So that might make my next question sort of moot, but I'll ask it anyway. In the event an employee were to have a furlough over a somewhat extended period of time so that their paycheck was drawn down by a significant amount where, they couldn't make FERS payments or they couldn't make insurance payments, any idea what happens in those scenarios?
Well, then there could be a disruption in coverage. But as you point out, their paycheck would have to go down by so much that they, weren't earning enough to cover the employee share of the health insurance premium or the retirement benefit. And of course, there are some very low-paid federal employees for whom that might occur, just missing one day of work in a pay period. So. that's definitely a very serious concern.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone hopes this doesn't happen. If it were to, I mean, it would have adverse impacts, certainly, on federal employees. What recourse is the wrong word, but what programs are out there, either operated by AFGE or others, that could help mitigate some of the financial hardships that'd be involved in this?
Well, I think there's the employee assistance program, but we're trying to have a sort of bigger picture solution, which involves retroactive compensation for any lost compensation. Obviously, federal employees did nothing to create any of these crises, some of which are manufactured to begin with, but they're certainly not responsible for the size of the deficit. They've already given $103 billion over the next 10 years toward deficit reduction, and there's absolutely no justification to ask for another cent from federal employees. So if we're caught in the crossfire with these, political posturing between the White House and the Congress, and they can't resolve this threat of sequestration, we certainly are going to try to have federal employees made whole for any losses they suffer while the two sides are negotiating.